Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Real moms are bravo. Real Moms of Bravo.
Real Moms of Bravo.
Real Moms of Bravo.
Hello. Happy day, everyone. We have one show ending, question mark, and then one show that's just getting started. Let's dive into all things Vanderpump Rules. We had the season 11 season finale last night, and it left me sucked in, to be honest. I feel like no matter how often I rip on VPR, I am so drawn to this group and they leave me wanting more. But before we get to the what is happening with the show, let's talk about the lead up to it. So Brock, in this entire episode, I feel like he's really pushing for the Sandoval redemption arc. What's your take on that?
I think he's pushing for himself to be getting a bigger salary. I think they're hungry for money. I don't know how they're managing their money, but we talked about this before. The fact that, like Sheena said during COVID, she had like no money and Sandoval had to send her thousands of dollars. It just makes me think they're maybe not managing what they're getting in the best way, especially because right now I think she's making, like she mentioned a while back, she was getting like $100,000 a month off of just her podcast. So I'm like, Sheena girl, maybe we should be managing things a little bit better. But I think Brock is thirsty to get a full-time role and he's doing whatever he can to solidify that. I do feel like he's really pushing Sheena into being friends with Sandoval, which like you could even see it when he was like, she's not a good friend. And Sheena's like, she is a good friend. It means a lot to me to maintain that friendship. I was impressed to see her kind of stand up for her friendship with Ariana, even if she didn't keep that backbone the rest of the episode. But I think Brock is just hungry for some money and sees full-time status as the way to get it.
Let's break that fourth wall, Brock.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, on one hand, I do respect from a marriage standpoint. For me, like I always want my partner to have my back. So I did get where he's coming from, like from that standpoint, from having Sheena's back, especially when they go to lunch. So the group ends up going to lunch. Sheena and Brock are there. Tom, Sandoval's not, but the entire group's there, Ariana and Dan. So when they were talking about Sandoval specifically, I did appreciate him standing up for his wife. I just think it's good to have your partner's back, regardless if it's right or not. But
I felt like him getting like heated with Katie, though, was a little bit unnecessary. And I was glad the rest of the group was like, get mad at Tom. Like, don't get mad at Katie for basically saying like, he treated your wife like shit, too. And like, I liked that people were like, no, Katie's actually standing up for your wife in this moment right now as well. You know, it was kind of like,
yes.
But I feel like even Sheena was kind of like, I mean, she's just so desperate for Ariana to say, you can be friends with Tom and you and I will still be friends. And she, I mean, eventually got it, but it just felt like, I don't know, that was weird. It's just weird to me. Every episode, she feels the need to tell Ariana play by play all the conversations she's having.
Yeah.
Tom.
When she knows she wants nothing to do with Tom, which again, I think some of this, and we'll break down the breaking of the fourth wall, but I feel like that has something to do with it a bit more in terms of these people are aware they've been on the show for a while. They know they're making a show. So I do think a little bit of that plays into it, but I want to get your take on Lala's interrogation of Dan.
I think if we had seen Lala be like consistently a really good friend to Ariana and be like more coming from a place of like, hey, she's just on the heels of like what would be like one of the most traumatic breakups that somebody could deal with. I don't want her to rush into this. I'm coming from a place of like protection and worry for her. Then I feel like I would be like, okay, like this is kind of like, I get it. It would almost have been like somewhat comical, but I feel as though she's just trying to like expose Dan in a way. And we saw her, like she was sitting with Katie and saying like, he seems like mean and mad. And Katie's like, no, he's like literally the nicest person in the world. So I feel like it's like, she's just trying so desperately to break him or find like a little like weakness, a little crack that she can make bigger. I think she was annoyed that she couldn't, because she even said like, he's handling these like a pro. It was like very frustrating for her.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I laughed when Schwartz was like, what are you going to ask next? What does he want to do in 5 years? But I did feel like their interaction together just felt very sweet. They seemed to have a very strong emotional connection, which clearly Ariana was lacking that with Tom. So I just am happy for her. They seem really well matched. We've had the pleasure of chatting with Dan casually at BravoCon. He very much like, you can tell kind of with filming this show, he's like, he's so not interested in the cameras, that scene. He's there to support his girl, but he's not like, some of these,
he wants her to be the star, and he's like,
he's okay.
His ego does not need to be stroked by the people of Vanderpump Rules. And I think that's what she needs, because I think ultimately the biggest issue with her and Sandoval, I mean, there were a lot of them, but like we saw throughout the relationship, Tom couldn't handle Ariana ever getting more spotlight than him.
No, I mean, he got a cocktail book.
I would say she got the book deal. He weaseled his way in. I mean, even seasons where like, things were like, she was being open about her mental health. Then all of a sudden it was all about how he's supporting her and he's boyfriend of the year. Like, it just felt like he always was trying to find ways to steal her thunder. And it's nice to see she's with someone now who's like, yeah, I'll film every now and then. I don't need to be in every episode. And even at BravoCon, like she's getting swarmed and he's just standing back holding her purse. Like he did not care.
Oh, he was like, he's so far removed from this world that he was, you know, Abby, I think you asked him, I was like, do you think this is weird? Or like, what?
I was like, are you like, do you think this is crazy? Are you overwhelmed? And he's like, I've been to Comic-Con. Like, I understand you guys are passionate about a show. I mean, he really is like, I think, a very just nice, supportive guy. And whether they end up married or not, I think it's like way too soon to say that, even though they've been dating for over a year at this point. I just think for right now, this is exactly what she needs. She seems very happy. I think if they were saying like, we're going to get married, we're going to have kids, all these things, then I could see like red flags coming up as a friend and why Lala might be acting more the way she is. But I kind of think, I mean, I get they met shortly after the breakup, but I kind of feel like they're both going into this like, we're just both really happy and want to be with each other and enjoy spending time together.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing too, when he said what attracted him to Ariana, his story in terms of bullying and racial slurs, like that's like such an unexpected answer, I feel like. But that's why I feel like they have such an emotional, strong connection and clearly have each other's backs. So I'm here for it. Go away, Lala. I am here for it. I also want to get, so I posted a meme that Katie is MVP for season 11, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with that.
Oh, Abby. I think she's probably been the only one who's actually been pretty consistent the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. I feel like she's consistent in how she feels. She says it. She doesn't hide behind. She doesn't try to like send messages to other people. But when she said, when a guy fucks over your friend, going back to the Sheena, Tom, Sandoval conversation at the lunch, fuck the guy. And I'm like, you know what? If you think about your real life terms, I have a friend who's going through something with an ex and like, yeah, I'm like, F that guy. Like, I want nothing to do with that person anymore. So I it's hard for me to wrap my head around Sheena's mindset, and we'll continue to go through that. But Katie,
I know. Bravo. And I even feel like Katie with Joe. I mean, was she really tough and firm in the delivery? Yeah, but that's also Katie. She does not sugarcoat things. She's going to tell you very directly how she feels. I feel like Joe went to Katie, apologized to Katie in hopes that she would get an apology back. And I feel like that's like the worst thing you can do with a very strong personality. It's like, if you want to have a sit down with him, go into it saying like, I'm just going to say what I need to say, and I'm going to make my peace because I can't control what the other person's going to say and do back. And, you know, I kind of get a little bit where Katie was coming from. Like, you send me this text, like you're here for me through the divorce, but like seconds later, you're basically like moving in and living in his apartment.
Couch surfing is like, yeah, whatever, details.
We go back to parts of last season, and Tom said, basically my roommate. He said that multiple times. So like, whether she was fully residing there and having mail sent there is a different story, but she basically was living there. I kind of see where Katie's coming from. Like, we really weren't that close. You're kind of weird anyway. I thought you were kind of weird and crazy to begin with. Then you send me this text of like support. You're going to be my friend. You're a girl's girl. Well, you're also trying to get with my ex-husband. Now, the crackhead thing, I think, was more of like a, like, I don't want, like, it was more of just like a exaggeration term that's used.
Yeah.
Like,
no, you know,
it wasn't like saying implying she does drugs. I think it was a little like, I feel like it was a stretch when Joe was like, my mom called me asking if I was doing drugs. But Joe, like, don't go up to the bear and expect like not like to get a reaction.
Also, Schwartz like set her up for failure in that sense of like, come on, Joseph. Okay, T Money. Like, those, I cannot think of the Instagram handle or TikTok handle, but there is a duo who does Tom and Cho impersonations. Oh, and it's so all I think about when I watch them, because it does.
Ooh, yeah.
It does feel like a joke. I don't know. T Money, Joseph, and like the way they're talking. I just can't handle it.
It is hard to like take her seriously and see her have emotion when you've like, she just has such weird like characteristics in the way she moves her body. And when she has like conversations with Tom, her arms and like elbows, and she just like, her body language is so bizarre. And then it's like, she almost is like this like cartoon character. And then when you see her actually cry, it's like hard for me to like have sympathy, because I'm like, it's almost like you're not like a real person to me sometimes. Like, it's just weird. Like,
for me with Joe, wish her well. I'm like, you are not cut out for reality TV. You shouldn't have ever filmed. You just ride off into your own little weird sunset. But like, she means no harm. I just don't think she is cut out for this, and confrontation and conversation.
And neither am I. Like, I could never do this show. If, of any shows, I could never do Vanderpump. Like, this is pretty cutthroat.
No, absolutely. But I'm also like, Schwartz, like,
Why did you bring her in?
What did you think? I mean, I also want to be like, should we tell Joseph how you asked Katie to sleep with Tom like the night before? And
I hope that gets brought up on the reunion. Like, I hope, like, you know, it's like, oh, Katie's this mean bully who's not being nice to Joe. Like, how about Tom like emotionally like fucking with her?
Yes.
For months. Like,
yes. And like, the whole comment he made about her in makeup really irked me. As it makes me think of like all the Tom, like, it's like a tale as old as time. Like, you have like a tomboy, and she like all of a sudden like hot, and people are like, whoa, like, what's going on?
It's like, one of my favorite things, Not Another Teen Movie, where they mock and she's all that, because they're like, what girl are you going to pick? And they're like, ooh, the one in glasses. She's the worst. You know, it's like, then she takes her glasses off and they're like, oh my God. She actually, you know, it's like, okay, she doesn't look that dramatically different. It's
no,
not like,
when he said she reminds me of a toddler who puts on lipstick, and I was like, okay, we could have come up with a better comparison. Because
he should have said
not.
It was like the big reveal of Princess Diaries.
Yes.
You know, that would have been at least like, I mean, a little bit of a knock, but a toddler that puts on lipstick is like a very odd comment.
I've seen my toddler put on lipstick, and that is not a compliment.
Well, usually, but yeah, to their nose.
Yes. Anyhow, details. But also, the dude that crashed the party, that whole situation was wild. And we saw that come out, like, as that was happening. That was kind of, like, all over the blogs, as they like to say. But I'm also confused by, I mean, Brock eventually got them out, but I'm also like, you guys could, I would have been more aggressive. I would have been more.
I know. I feel like, I'm like, were we like trying to let this be like a moment on the show? I was like, it almost seemed like, was this person paid to do this? Like, yeah. It was a little weird,
but I was like, okay, I would have been an asshole and been like, yo, get off. I mean, I know they have cameras in front of them, so I'm sure they don't want like anything to come back to them, but I think I probably would have chirped a little bit, but clearly this dude was looking for some sort of altercation as he was getting kicked out. Let's talk about Ariana, Sheena, Tom Sandoval, well, all of it. So Sheena and Tom have a heart-to-heart. They have a conversation. Was this before or after her performance? I can't
remember. A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Yeah.
A little bit of both, but she's essentially saying, you know, like, you've always been there for me. You've been such a good friend, like, blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit.
I don't think he's been a bad friend, but like, we were talking about this in our text group. Like, is this sound, like, bringing in this sound guy, is that like so amazing? Like, I don't know. For some of it, I'm like, is Tom doing this for the show? Is he doing it for Sheena? Or is he doing it for their friend at the event, who's running the event? Like, it wasn't like all for Sheena. I don't know. I guess she was making it sound like, oh my God. And he got the Rolling Stones to perform as my band. Like, it wasn't like this huge, I don't know. I mean, it was a nice gesture, but it wasn't like, okay, now that's it. Screw Ariana. I'm going to be friends with Tom. Like, it was, and ultimately Ariana was going to give Sheena what she wanted. I think production had really tried to give Ariana a bad edit. I do though appreciate the like showing the scenes where like, she did say, if you're going to be friends with Tom, there's not space, like, I don't have space for you in my life anymore. I think as time went on, I think she's more just in the space of like, I can coexist with this guy. I don't have to forgive him. I don't have to be nice with him. I don't have to talk to him, but I can still be in the same space. And she was like, basically said to Sheena, like, we'll always be friends. I'll always love you. You're family. I just don't want to hear about your conversations with Tom.
It's like, I'm just not interested. And, you know, let's talk about the breaking of the fourth wall. So we have this back and forth conversation. Eventually, Sheena and Ariana were having that heart to heart that you just described. Tom comes up. Ariana's like, peace out. Coming to Applebee's. Better chain restaurant options, by the way.
Did they have something with Applebee's at the time? Because I know.
The Chili's, I think.
I know Chili's is current, but I didn't know like before. Yeah, I'm like, I don't know where this love of Applebee's is coming from. I hope they're paying you.
I hope they're paying you as well. Watch that endorsement come right up next. Watch it. It's already in the works. Anyways, so she leaves. Sheena and Tom, all of a sudden, fourth wall broken. Lala goes on a rant of that this girl's Beyonce. She thinks she's fucking Beyonce. And like, she thinks because she's the only woman I've seen cheated on who now thinks she's God. And he did not kill somebody. He didn't kill anyone. She goes off on this rant. And I mean, basically kind of acknowledging, and she did this in like the confessional, but she's like, we all tell our truth. And basically Ariana had her one moment of truth, but then is not putting in the work from a filming perspective because she's refusing and has a boundary to film and have conversation with Tom.
I don't think this is her refusing to like tell her truth. I think it would have been more fake. Like, honestly, I think it would have been extremely fake if she would be like, okay, fine, I'll have a sit down with Tom. Like, that would have completely been like, who are you now? Like, you hated this guy. Like, I feel like it's like, no, she's actually being very truthful and honest. She's still mad as hell at this guy. She has no place in her heart for forgiveness at this point. And I see her point. If he really wanted to forgive, like to be forgiven, he would have written me a note. We could have had a conversation off camera. He also then wouldn't, the second he got a chance to, turn everyone against me. Like, I'm sorry, Tom, but I feel like his true colors were shown so dramatically in those final moments when all of a sudden he's like, she hates all of you. And, you know, she's sitting on her lazy ass collecting money. She showed up to every filming event, even knowing you were going to be there. She came on this trip to support Sheena. Like, honestly, too, like, she fucking did this season so all of you collectively could get money. If she would have said, screw this, I'm getting enough deals, I'm booked and busy, I'm not coming back for season 11. there would have been no season 11. Like, no one would have, like, there wouldn't have been the attention and the desire to keep it going just to, like, listen to Tom whine about how he's not as bad as we think he is. Like, I honestly feel like she's the hardest working one in the group in terms of all the things she does. And she still showed up for the show. Like, I don't feel, I guess I'm not understanding the people who are saying, like, oh, if she could still live with him, then why can't she have a sit down with him? They coexist and live together, but they're coordinating schedules with their freaking assistants. Like, they can't even be at the gym, in their home gym, at the same time.
No. And I think Lala, like, my beef with Lala is, and I think she eventually will say this in the reunion, but it's like, you say all the shit, you say, you talk all the shit and how you're weary of Dan, but you don't say any of this to Ariana's face. Like, Ariana said on Watch What Happens Live, I thought we were the Spice Girls. Little does she know, they see, like we do, when they receive their screeners, everyone's confessionals, and find out, like, what people really think. And I just, I'm like, if you were that concerned, I don't get it. I do think if you're going to have an argument with Ariana or have somewhat of a leg to stand, the house situation is strange. I think Ariana could easily be like, get a little soundbite from her lawyer, whatever, that keeps her clean, and just be like, I'm not going to lose money. And we're still figuring out the terms, and I'm not moving out of a place that is rightfully mine. Would I do that? Probably not. But she's entitled to that, just how she's entitled to be mad. So I don't know.
I also think she's seen many a reality star piss away their money. And so she's probably like, why am I going to be on the hook for part of this mortgage and then go get myself an apartment or stay in a hotel? And I mean, honestly, it seemed like they really weren't there together all that often. But I still, like, I said this a couple episodes, like, in our podcast a couple weeks ago. I never am seeing this, like, aha moment of, like, oh, yeah, Ariana does think she's God. She does think she's better than Beyonce. I mean, like, even her conversation with Sheena, I feel like it took a lot for her to say, like, you'll always be my friend. You can be friends with Tom. I just don't want to hear about it. Like, I honestly don't know if she would have given Lala that option. So I think it shows, like, she really does think highly of Sheena. And just, I don't know. I just feel like, too, Tom is manipulating all of them. And if they can't see it, they're idiots. Like, the fact that, like, when there was, like, that hot mic moment and Schwartz goes, well, that was a plot twist. And I think they all thought Ariana leaving meant, like, she was kind of quitting the show, possibly, because Tom's like, Ariana gone, leaving, or Ariana leaves, that's great for me. Like, he's only thinking his storyline, his redemption arc, how can he look good? This isn't a guy who genuinely just wants to be forgiven by a woman he wronged.
Well, and I also think Lala's breaking the fourth wall. Sheena, I think that was also, it's great for me that the tides are turning, that they're not all so strongly team Ariana. But again, like, I'm just like, I agree with everything you're saying. It's like, guys, we're smart viewers, okay? We can see right through this. I do want to get your take, because there's a lot of chatter online. Everyone felt like it felt like a series finale, not just a season finale. We had that throwback of everyone's first confessional, which did get me a little bit emotional, that weird song that was playing throughout all.
Well, Andy talked about this on Radio Andy today. So he is not, like, a producer on the show, so he doesn't necessarily have any, like, say on it. He did say, like, someone said it gave them Mary Tyler Moore, like, the lights are off vibes. Like, and he said he could see why people might think that, and he was waiting for this question. But he does not, like, his understanding is this is not the end of Vanderpump. Now, I think things are going to change, whether they're going to call this out now or not. I do think Ariana is done or takes a pause. I could see Katie taking a pause as well, because I don't think she really likes anyone in the group besides Ariana. Sheena and Lala are already basically giving their auditions for The Valley. They've been in a couple episodes, but it just leaves this, like, question of, like, what do you do with the Toms and Allie and James? Because I think Allie and James are really strong, not enough on their own to have their own show. I don't know if the Toms, Allie and James make sense. I think there could be some transitions for Vanderpump.
No, absolutely. I do. We still stand on the fact that Ariana's not coming back. Yeah. But thank you for that update, though. I had not had a chance to listen to my Radio Andy. So with that, we'll see what happens next. But let's take a quick ad break. I am always trying to do right by my body. So when it comes to my hair and scalp health, finding a product that actually works and is made with clean ingredients always seems like a trade-off. But with Vegamore, get products that are made with clean ingredients and give me visibly healthy hair and scalp. Guys, I just got my hair done today. My hairdresser, no joke, said, does your hair seem, your hair's getting long, which never happens to me. And that's because of Vegamore. I'm able to have visibly thicker, fuller, shinier, longer hair without all the harsh ingredients. Every cute pink bottle of Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. So I typically do this every night. I like the hair growth serum. I do it before bed. I have it on my nightstand along with all my beauty products. So I put it on all sides of my head and give myself a scalp massage before bed. Stay consistent with it and it makes the world's difference. So Vegamore's value kits, like the Grow Essential kits, where you get to try more than one amazing product at great savings. When you sign up for a monthly subscription, you save more and you never run low on the products you need to take care of your hair. The key is consistency in your routine with your most beautiful, healthy looking hair. I use Vegamore Grow Hair Serum daily and my hair and scalp are flourishing. And fun fact, Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow Serum every 15 seconds on their website. So that's how good it is. Give your hair the power of the little pink bottle with Vegamore. For a limited time, listeners get 20% off their first order by going to vegamore.com/realmoms and use code realmoms at checkout. That's vegamore.com/realmoms, code realmoms, to save 20% on your first order. vegamore.com/realmoms, code realmoms.
It feels like life is just constantly busy now. I had been talking about how I loved Factor meals during tax season with my husband being an accountant, and we've ended tax season and we're going full speed into sports every night season. And that is why I love Factor meals. There have been many a times where I have dinner ready to go for my kids. Someone's going to eat it before practice. The other one eats it once they get home from practice. No one's eating dinner together. And then it comes time for me to figure out what I'm going to eat or what my husband's going to eat. And the Factor meals are they're so delicious, but they're also so healthy. And they've got a great new menu for the summer and tons of options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto. They're fresh, never frozen, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. I just got a delivery today and I am so excited. There's 35 different meals with more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. So you're never going to get bored. You'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can make your day delicious. Maybe dinner isn't the trick for you. It's lunch or breakfast. They have breakfast, dessert, so many different options for you. Everything tastes amazing. And the best part of it is keep your kitchen time to a minimum. The Factor meals are ready in 2 minutes. You don't have to go shopping. There's no prepping. There's no cooking. There's no cleaning up. You just throw it in the microwave and you're ready to eat. Head to factormeals.com/realmoms50 and use code realmoms50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code realmoms50 at factormeals.com/realmoms50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
This episode is also sponsored by one of our favorite sponsors, Jenny Kane. Mother's Day is just around the corner, and this is a perfect gift to treat all well-deserving moms, moms-to-be, and mother figures in your life. Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through, and their staples make getting dressed easier than it's ever been before. Think minimalist, effortless, but totally refined, from luxurious cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories to elevated versions of all your everyday basics, not to mention the most incredible home essentials too. I am obsessed with both of my Jenny Kane sweaters. I have the fisherman hoodie, and then I also have the crop cashmere cocoon cardigan. You guys all saw me wearing it in Charleston. It is such a great piece. I can see myself with it being sundress season. I'm definitely going to be layering with this cardigan. It's not too thick. It's the perfect cardigan. You guys are going to love it. I get compliments every time I wear it. And we have a promo code for you. So find the perfect Mother's Day gift or curate your new spring uniform at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code REALMOMS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JENNIKAYNE.com, promo code REALMOMS. Get yourself and the women in your life the best gift of all. Jenny Kane.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. The springtime is great. The flowers are blooming. You've got fun rainstorms, but that also means there's pollen in the air, and the changes in weather can make your seasonal allergies just go crazy. And I have been suffering from seasonal allergies. Seems like it gets worse and worse every year. And I love using Astepro. I think you will as well. It has just really helped with my feeling as if I'm in a submarine. I don't know if I sound different to you guys. If I don't, it's because it's working and doing such a great job. But I definitely can just tell this time of year, I've got that pressure headache. My eyes are a little bit more watery. My nose feels more stopped up. And Astepro is a first of its kind nasal spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to astepro.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Okie doke. Are you ready to have a season full of anxiety? Because that's Real Housewives of New Jersey. Every time I watch, I'm like, part of me is always like, why do I watch this franchise? Because it always leaves me feeling like
it's that. Like, so, and it's just so intense. I'm glad we don't have a lot of the Teresa Melissa. At least we've moved on from that. But like, there was a part of me that was like, what is this going to be if they're not filming together? It did feel like majority of the time all we had was like the two of them fighting and then everyone else kind of like taking their sides and explaining it. We're gonna have plenty going on this season without it, but I mean, off the bat, it's getting like dark and heavy. I feel like there's something about this franchise where it just like they go for the jugular so quickly. Like we're having like drug dealing accusations and it is episode one. Like we haven't even had like a warm up, you know, we're just full on sprinting into the drama.
I think what makes this cast unique to other franchises is I genuinely feel many of the women hate each other. And they do it the Jersey way, which means airing out your dirty laundry or finding it and airing it out. Like, I can't think of any franchise off the top of my head. I'm sure you guys will have receipts, proof, timeline, but it's just like wild to me just how much they hate each other, or at least people dislike each other.
A couple seasons ago, Teresa's like, I just heard about Jackie's husband sleeping around. And everyone's like, well, who'd you hear it from? And she's like, just people. I heard it from people. It's like, okay, where did you actually hear this? Yeah, I think they're very much a like say now, think later type of group. But I do feel like Melissa saying, I don't want to answer questions about Teresa this season is a very smart move. It also doesn't make Teresa look very good that she has no problem like immediately shit talking Melissa and Joe again.
Oh, not at all. But also Teresa doesn't know how to be anything other than Teresa. Like Teresa, God love her. She's a wonderful mom, but she's not one to like fake it in that sense. Like she's, I don't know if that's one of her strengths to pretend. So of course she's going to talk about them. It still makes me so sad, but Melissa is smart to be like, I'm not going to speak about them. I'm done. Let's focus my confessionals on everything else. Let's random, just light note. Is Jen Fessler's guitar and singing Amazing Grace having a moment in this episode?
I think Jen Fessler is going to be like the breakthrough housewife of this franchise for this season. A lot of people are saying like, you know, Dolores is going to give us like center energy with the lineup. I think, and I can't remember if Jen Fessler is full on this year.
I think she's another friend of.
She's going to be one of those people I think actually just like should always be a friend of. Just going to like thrive in that role. As we saw with Marlo, you push too hard and sometimes it's like, oh, maybe you were better. That's just a friend of. I don't, Jen just like really shines, and even like kind of seeing the previews of her a little bit switching sides, I feel like knowing Jen, the way she's going to do it, it's like almost going to somehow like make sense to us, or we're going to see conversations and be like, oh, okay. But I don't know. I think Jen's hilarious. Like throughout her party, I was cracking up at like the things she was doing and saying as like these like massive fights are going on. And she's just like, all right, well, I don't know what's happening, but I'm going to have fun and I'm going to enjoy my birthday. And
55 never looked better. Like, I know she's had work done, but hey, kudos to her doctor. I also respect people who are honest with their friends in the sense, and you know, I could change my mind as the season progresses, but in her conversation with Margaret and just talking about Teresa, she's like, well, she's never done anything bad to me. And Margaret's very much like, love and light. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this. But I also am like, you know, I think it's sometimes important for people to see people for who they are on their own and not heavily persuade someone, especially on a reality TV show environment. So I appreciated that, you know, they can beat at their own drum. That's what Teresa said. And, you know, someone who butchers sayings, and I love that every season we get a butchered saying from Teresa, if anything.
What do you think about Danielle and Rachel being friends?
Good.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. I was happy to see it. I like didn't really understand why the two of them were like feuding their first seasons. I feel like as newbies, they should have teamed up. And I completely agree with what they're saying. They really balance each other out. Danielle's kind of like all over the place and like very impulsive. And Rachel can be a little bit of like stoic. You know, I know Danielle's saying she was like an ice queen. Like they're going to be a good balance for one another, because Danielle is going to lose her shit really quickly and be like screaming, yelling at someone. Rachel might be able to be like, the reason why she's mad is, you know, and then like times where people are going to be like, Rachel's hard to talk to, I can't get her to open up. Then Danielle can be like, no, she's really great. Like, I think they could be a good duo together.
I think the reason why I had like little to say is that I don't know how I feel about either of them yet too much. I don't have like a strong, I don't have strong thoughts. So that's, I think that's why I'm like kind of like even keel on either of them. Like, okay,
I think
good.
You're good for this cast though, because I think we have too much of just like the old history going over and over and over again. Yeah. Like they needed some new blood. They needed to like mix it up. I think Rachel's going to end up, whether it's because of Teresa or Teresa has a storyline because of, you know, Rachel and her husband, I do think she's going to get like a pretty strong sophomore season with, you know, the fact that for whatever reason, Teresa decided to make
go
her husband.
Luda. I do hate it. You know what though? I hate it when the house husbands become like, I don't like men fighting with women, period, but I like the men of Jersey. I think where they really thrive is just kind of, you know, sit back. We like watching them like
have their drunken silly moment. Yeah.
And like whatever. But when they get involved, like when Joey Gorga was getting involved with Gia, like I don't like seeing that. So call me old school. I sound very Jersey, but I don't like it. I don't care for it. I will say, I do believe, so Teresa is trying to spill some tea. I feel like she's trying to make this sound more groundbreaking than it actually was. But she tells Polly and Dolores, she's like, we found out, Frank told us that you guys, some of the girls got together at Margaret's house before reunion, and it didn't go as well as they thought it would. And I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah, like Jeff Fessler said, like, you guys didn't execute the plan. It was more on Louis. I think it was the guys getting together to discuss Louis. I mean, I think they kind of had like, did Teresa not watch the reunion? Like, I was kind of like, yeah, you sort of saw that. And you saw the moment where Frank turns to Joe Gorga and it's like, I'm not going to discuss it and talk about it until it's actually brought up. And then Dolores shut it down very quickly when they were talking about Frank Jr. working for Louis. But yeah, she acted like this was like, oh my God, can you believe people are plotting against Louis? I'm like, the whole country is. No one likes this man, Teresa.
But also, like, I feel like if I were a reality star, of course I'm going to talk to my besties and be like, hey, what's your plan going into this reunion? Like, it's kind of like no brainer. And I love that Dolores even acknowledged that. She's like, okay, yeah, people do that. We've heard about this. So
we kind of assumed. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was like, I really hope, though, that this is a season that Teresa leaves Louis, but it's probably not going to happen. But we're getting close.
I don't think she's going to leave him. It does look like, I mean, she turns to the camera. I was like, I don't want to talk about this while we're filming. We see like, he's like, you know, they say Jen Aiden's like, she's really sad. She's upset. He's pissed away all of her money. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm curious to watch how we get to that point.
And, oh, like, absolutely.
What comes out? Because like we all have been saying this all along. Like,
oh, Bruce, yeah.
You need a prenup. What are you doing? What do you think about Polly, though, really starting like inserting himself in the drama?
You know, I didn't care for it. I don't feel like it was very Switzerland. I do agree with Fuda and Joey. So I was like, it sounds like you're choosing a side.
Yeah.
I think if he wasn't so fucking red, I'm like, why are these guys? Don't be Kristen Cavallari. Skin cancer is real.
Almost that's like you were. Yeah. You're Irish and you're hanging out with Italians. Like, you need to SPF up, dude. Yes. Like, I'm Irish too. We burn. Not meant to be tan.
I think his delivery was off. I think his intentions are, if someone gave you the opportunity, Louis wanted to get together with Fuda, have a gentlemanly conversation, as Teresa says, he's a gentleman, off camera, fine. I also think Louis manipulative enough to know that Fuda is going to say no, but he had the receipts and he tried. Because I think that's how Louis tries to be a couple steps ahead of some of these folks in Jersey. And honestly, I don't think it's that hard to do. But I do feel like he knew he wasn't going to meet up with him. Like, I don't know.
So I can't tell if Teresa was just flat out lying and he was sitting at home, or is Louis lying to Teresa? Was he actually in Florida? Like, a last minute business trip to Florida, I was like, you told other people you were going to be there.
Oh, like, it's giving Tampa and Ralph. Like, yeah. Is he meeting Ralph in Tampa? Like, I just think that's Teresa. It's like, girl, you've gone to jail. Like,
I wonder if maybe he was just sitting at home and he's like, I'm not going to go because I don't want to have the conversation with Fuda there. Probably because he knows he's going to look terrible. I don't know. I couldn't tell if she, like, because she's a kind of a terrible liar. And so I couldn't tell. It seemed like she was trying to lie for him. I feel like
production would have, like, caught on to that a little bit. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm giving her too much credit there. But
I mean, she can't even put candy in a bag. So she was, like, angrily, like, throwing it in there. I'm like, what are you doing?
Before we talk about the breakout fight, I would be remiss to not acknowledge. So we've seen the streets, the blogs, Instagram accounts, Reddit, about the accusations about Jen Aiden. So right now there's conversation regarding Jen Aiden apparently leaking information to bloggers, letting people screen stuff. I 100% believe it. I do feel like a lot of housewives, and I think Jersey tends to be the most toxic and honestly has the most toxic, rabid fans. Like, listen, I'm a fan of Bravo altogether, but Jersey fans, diehards, are like on the same level of intensity as the cast themselves. But I do feel like there's likely some truth to that. And I'm really curious if any of that's going to come out on the season or it's going to transpire. And it's giving, like, reality Von Teese on a different level. But
I mean,
take on that?
I don't think Jen's doing anything that other housewives haven't done. I mean, just throwing it out there, Bronwyn used to send us her link and let us, you know, screen her episodes. I think housewives have sent out their screeners to different accounts to get their take on things. Housewives definitely interact with the fans and fan accounts to know, like, how to prepare for reunions or how to best position themselves. If they're seeing everyone is not on their side in an argument, they might be like, I really was in the wrong here. How do you think, like, what would be the best way for me to recover? And you're going to go to, like, your most diehard fans. I think Jen Aiden probably did the same thing. It sounds like, I mean, she allegedly bought this woman stuff for her daughter who has special needs in return for this person posting favorably about Jennifer Aiden and getting the screeners. Like, to me, I'm like, this is not shocking. I think it happens probably more than Bravo wants people to know about.
I will say with us, like, and you guys are probably curious, we are pretty, like, chill. We play nice. Like, we don't really get a lot of that. I think for Abby and I don't want to speak for you completely, but I'll speak for me. I feel like we tend to have some favoritism for people who we've befriended or spent more time with. But besides that, no one's currently messaging us to be like,
well, no, but I mean, I just, like, in the past, I think if people anticipate a tough season, I mean, you hear them reach out to different fan accounts or talk to them.
Absolutely.
Or try to leak things to be like, hey, this isn't getting the attention I thought it would on the show. And then, like, if you ever wonder, like, why are screenshots of, like, text messages coming out? It's because how else do you think? There's few people that have those.
100%.
They get leaked.
True. It's true. So this is, like, you know, some behind the scenes kind of the reality of it
surprises me with Jen Aiden, because we don't necessarily have, like, housewives directly sending us stuff. We will have, like, clearly fake accounts that will send us things that will be screenshots of text messages. You and I typically don't post it because it's like, if we can't verify it from the source, we're not going to, like, throw it out there because it's easy to fabricate. I guess maybe Jen started messaging with this person from a fake account and then thought she could trust them. It is surprising to me that, like, Jen was doing this from her real account and her real cell phone.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, all of them, I think, have fake accounts.
Oh, yeah. They all, I think it's, everyone has a burner account for, you know, the no profile picture.
Yeah.
A million followers, no followers themselves. I mean, we get DMs of people who I feel emails from their burner account. But last take on that before we talk about the fight, because I'm just curious, how do you feel like that is different, Jen Aiden versus Monica and what she was doing in Salt Lake? Because to me, it's kind of the same.
I guess I feel like the difference is Monica was doing this stuff before she came on the show. I think Jen got on the show and started them playing the game of with the accounts. I feel like all the housewives do that to some extent. Jen was doing a little bit more. I mean, I think like essentially bribing people to post certain things is a slippery slope. I wouldn't be shocked if she's demoted or possibly fired if it turns out to be true. But I think the difference is like Jen did it with was kind of like not fully in control, where Monica was a part owner of reality. Yeah. So it's sort of like, it was like a weird thing of like, did she get on the show to expose everyone and grow her account? Or, you know, like it was just like that part of it is weird, where Jen, yeah, she's trying to control a little bit of the narrative with posting, but it wasn't her directly creating like a burner fan account and posting and leaking all this stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of feel like they're one of the same, just a little bit. I think where Jen gets off slightly is that she still has relationships with the women. I mean, she's like friends with Teresa. Yeah. Teresa is probably, I have no doubt Teresa's doing this with her tree huggers and stuff.
Oh,
but I don't know. So I'm curious to see how the network responds and if there's any validity to it. But let's talk about the fight, the final fight, which we have Teresa talking to Rachel Fuda. And basically she's like, she's going, Will Smith, keep my name out your mouth, your husband, blah, blah, blah. Fuda comes, he's like, what do you got to say? He's like kind of taunting her. And Teresa's loose, you know, she will throw the daggers. She said double dildo. I don't know what she said.
The double dildo thing. I'm like, I don't even know where this is coming from. And I also don't even know why it's relevant. I'm like, okay, like if that's what he's into, he's not talking about it on the show. I don't know if it's really even that relevant. I'm curious, like the whole, like, I don't know, like, you know, being in jail thing, that he made a comment about that. I don't know. That
talking to his ex-wife, like clearly Jersey's had a history of people going so low to dig up dirt on things that aren't relevant to your point, to what they're currently talking about, only to just throw that person under the bus.
Yeah. I think that's a little bit of what Teresa's doing, but also like some of it, I was like, it could be true. Like I think knowing this group, I mean, I think there's a lot of, like a lot of them have probably done some questionable, shady things in the past. Like there's a lot of like lawsuits against Joe Gorga for basically like not completing jobs. Or we saw that he was like stealing people's like photos, like of like finished rehabs, and was like claiming them to be his. Like, I don't know. There's like, I always take everything Jersey says with like a little bit of a, like a grain of salt, but also a little bit of like, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. So maybe he's not like a felony for drug dealing, but like, there's probably some truth to it. Like if people are saying when he was younger, was a drug dealer.
Yeah. My only thing against Fuda, and again, where it kind of loses me, I'm like, don't fight with Teresa. Just disengage, remove yourself. It's not a good look when a man is like yelling. I get you're standing up for yourself a bit, but say your piece and then walk away. And also your veneers look horrible.
Oh, they do look terrible. But also I'm like, you're giving her time and attention. Like,
I mean, she's like, I can do this all day.
This is where she's been doing it for seasons. Like, you know, so I do. I'm like, well, I don't know. I wouldn't go head to head with her, because all you're going to do is just give her, like he said, he's giving her a storyline. He put that out there. The problem is she's been here a lot longer than you have. And so like, if anyone's going to go, it's going to be the Fudas, not Teresa.
Okay. Can we talk about his press release that he released?
At like Fuda Communications.
A lot of people, I hadn't watched the episode and people were messages like, why did he put that out? And honestly, I didn't see anything in the episode that was worthy of him putting this out. Like, it was just very weird.
It seemed kind of rumors and accusations, and I feel like he kind of addressed it on the show. But the thing that cracked me up was like, he basically acted as if he was his own PR firm, putting out like a formal press release.
I mean, it's like, can't you go in the notes app like everyone else and just write against any for everything?
Yeah. And the like contact was truly FudaCommunications@gmail.com. I'm like, oh, Fuda.
And it was like a reel. I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, you're an idiot is what that is.
Yeah.
That is.
I mean, honestly, this is like giving me like, the more you deny and try to fight something, the more sometimes you're like, maybe it is true. So now I'm like, you're pretty triggered by this for someone
pretty
who
triggered.
Claims there's no truth to it. And I don't know. Like the drug dealing thing, I mean, that could be obviously very serious. The double dildo thing, I'm just like, well, if that's what you're into, be like, you know what? What I do behind closed doors is between me and my wife.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. I do want to give a mini shout out to Anthony Lario, our friend since day one. We saw him in the episode a few times. He had the best facial expressions. So that made me giggle.
Like truly shocked. That made me laugh so hard. Yes.
Yeah. He looked very shocked. It was a very good, might have to add it to the reaction folder if I find it, but it did make me laugh. Let's get to our shout out of the week. What is your shout out, Abby?
I am giving my shout out to Ariana. I think she took a lot of heat this season. I think we were constantly being told, just wait, you're going to understand why we're all turning against her. I never saw it. Maybe I'm biased because I'm strongly team Ariana, but I'm going to give my shout out to her. I think she really brought it this season. I don't think she was sitting on her lazy ass, as Sandoval said. So I am giving my shout out to Ariana on a great season 11.
I'm going to give my shout out to Zendaya because she must be tired. Her and Lav Roach continue to deliver on amazing looks. They were at the Met Gala and did not disappoint. She not only did she have one look, she had two. I just feel like in this day and age of like social media, I just appreciate people who are giving us fashion and really treating it like an art. So I want to give it to Lav Roach and Zendaya, who do not borrow but own everything that she wears.
There you go.
There you go. Little fashion, little ending with fashion. Okay, so now is a part where you guys know what I'm about to say, and I bet you are mouthing it right now because you know what you need to do. And if you haven't done it, now's the time. So hit 5 stars and leave us a written review. Again, we are always teasing. We've got something up our sleeve, but we really, really do. And please support us by doing your part. And with that, make it a great day or don't. The choice is yours.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.